It's Marketplace Tech for January 20th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you have wasted as much time as I have playing the creative building video game Minecraft, you know these sounds, which will now be combined with this sound a little more often. This week, Microsoft, which owns Minecraft, acquired a version of the game called Minecraft EDU from a startup called Teacher Gaming. Joel Levin is its co-founder. He says Minecraft's open world, where you can build everything from buildings to recreations of giant eyeballs with different tools, started to attract attention when he introduced it to his own classroom at a private school here in New York.
You know, history teachers, language teachers, art teachers, math teachers at my school were interested in what was going on, and we started brainstorming all these different ways to use the game.
Teacher Gaming created a platform of Minecraft that would allow teachers to customize the game to suit their specific lessons.
And we saw history teachers making these elaborate recreations of ancient spaces, and science teachers setting up experiments for kids to run inside the game world.
Joel Levin there, co-founder of the startup Teacher Gaming. While we're on screen-based entertainment and education, Netflix earnings beat expectations yesterday, thanks in part to a more than 60% jump in subscribers outside of the U.S. That's compared to a year ago. 4 million last quarter. Now to a company that isn't doing so well, Foursquare. When it launched in 2009, the online platform let users say where they were at a given time, bars, restaurants, gyms, etc. Its revenue and user base is lagging. Its valuation has dipped. Old CEO is out. What happened? Let's ask venture capitalist Paul Kodrosky at SK Ventures. Paul, you weren't surprised?
These sort of stories happen, and you know what inevitably happens in venture is once a few people get skittish about the price at which somebody's trying to raise money, then all of a sudden everyone's skittish, and then the next thing you know, you don't just get a slight repricing, you tend to get fairly radical repricing.
How valuable is that information that it's collecting on users as they use the platform?
So that's the problem. So in origin, back in 2009, 2010, you know, when the app really got going, it seemed like it was going to be incredibly valuable. But in part, what's happened here is an awful lot of that information is getting sliced off and pulled into other places, in particular into this thing called Facebook you may have heard of. understatement. So it doesn't, you know, the whole notion of Foursquare and check-ins, you know, it kind of starts to feel like, and this is, you know, an old dig in the venture industry, it starts to feel like a feature, not a business.
Are we going to see more companies suffer from the same issues that Foursquare is suffering from right now?
Oh, nonstop. It's going to be a litany over the next few quarters, and maybe over the next calendar year, because what happened over the last 3-4 years was a host of companies set valuations based on each other. They said, you know, I have to have a valuation, you know, of 500 million, 700 million, the infamous billion-dollar unicorn club. It was more for sort of prestige and recruiting. Employees, for example, would say, you know, I have an offer from, you know, from a Lyft or from an Uber or, you know, for a while from a Foursquare, and look at their valuation. This is where I want to be. And then, of course, what happens is once one of these companies' valuations gets, you know, reset, then they all get reset because they were never really based on anything than each other's valuations in the first place.
Paul Kodrosky runs SK Ventures. Paul, thanks so much for talking with me.
Hey, no problem, Ben.
Man versus Machine. It's a theme in movies, the nightly news, and science fiction writing. It's often a scary theme. Well, here's a twist. Could minimum wage hikes encourage businesses to replace their workers with machines? From CalMatters, reporter Pauline Bartolone has more.
Richard Lagercio employs hundreds of people to run his event rental business in Los Angeles. He says the city's minimum wage increase that goes up to $15 an hour over the next several years is too much and too fast.
Now I've got to be the bad guy. I've got to start really watching pennies.
Lagercio's undecided about how his business, Town and Country Event Rentals, will adjust long term. he could raise prices, move, or cut worker benefits. For now, he's looking into technology to cut costs. He just bought an industrial dishwasher, which will do the work of 6 to 8 people.
If I could find robots to buy and to load trucks, I would do that.
Business groups against minimum wage increases, like the California Restaurant Association, say wage hikes will drive more decisions to replace human work with machines. Take, for example, touchscreens for ordering, especially in fast food.
When the minimum wage goes up, you tend to see that employment in cashiers declines.
Brian Phelan is a labor economist at DePaul University in Chicago. He says increases can cause the loss of certain low-wage jobs. But a study he did also shows growth in other kinds of jobs, balancing out overall losses. Take what happens when supermarkets invest in self-checkout technology, Phelan says.
They may have to hire people to help customers learn how to use that technology.
Another economist says the falling price of technology is driving automation, not minimum wage increases. Michael Reich of UC Berkeley says those machines on the job, they shouldn't scare you.
We've had more and more machines and automation for the last 250 years, and we have more and more jobs.
After all, Reich says, even after the rise of ATM machines, we still have bank tellers.
It is an opportunity for more interesting work whenever there's automation, and also for less backbreaking work.
Whether we'll see blowback or benefits, we won't know the full effects of wage hikes for several years. In Sacramento, I'm Pauline Bartolone for Marketplace.
And the craziest, scariest thing I've seen so far this week on the internets is a data visualization called How You Will Die. An organization called Flowing Data made the tool, put in your age, race, and sex, and it says, let's see, I will maybe live to around 90 years old. Whew. Want to see your own statistics? We posted the tool at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.